Welcome to Nothing But Fantasy. My name is Phil Nasons. I'm the co-host of this weekly radio show. It's heard daily at Max Sports Channels. My co-host is Miss Andrea Lamont. Please welcome her to the show. What's up?
What's up? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
I'm a little pissed off, though, today.
Tell me why.
I missed a big one today, or last night at NBA. And the reason I missed it is because the Dallas Mavericks coach decided to rest his players, his starters, but he didn't tell us until like 10 minutes to 10, right before game time, and the lineups had already locked.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, yes. It's horrific this way, I tell you. It's no fun when that happens. And it happens. If you play enough daily fantasy basketball, it's going to happen to you at least once. It's mine. This is the third time it's happened to me already this year. It never once happened last year to me. That's the hard part about it. You know, people were complaining that DraftKings in fantasy basketball are not allowing late swaps and have the lineup lock at the first game of the night. And that's why people played at DraftKings, because they could swap when these things happen. But unfortunately, I lost out. I had 352 points with eight guys.
Wow, my gosh.
That's what I said, too. When I woke up this morning and saw that, I was like, holy cow. I thought the guy who must have won must have had about 500 points, because that's quite a few. And then I saw Barea laid an egg with a zero because he didn't play. But it's really frustrating. But that's the fun part of playing daily fantasy sports.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks that you can't move your players around, and you're going to have to really get used to that. But I'm so amazed that they can score that many points. Yeah, the one must have had 500 points. That's crazy.
He had 410 points, but he didn't have J.J. Barea in his lineup. But 20% of that field had J.J. Barea in it. So 20% of those people are just like me, not happy today.
Right.
But I have a bigger reason to be unhappy, because I probably would have done a lot better, if not won the thing, because I lost a zero. You take a zero in a daily fantasy basketball game in a GPP,
yeah,
you're not going to cash very well.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, lessons
That's
learned.
What.
We live and learn.
We live and learn. And what I learned is don't trust Rick Carlisle anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. He's the Dallas Mavericks coach, for those of you who aren't aware. Now, baseball. It's hot stove time.
Wait a minute. Let's finish basketball first. We were going to talk a little bit about some trades and, you know, for season long, because I think it's really easy to get caught up in the fact that your team may or may not be doing well. Like on both sides of the poll here, like if you're doing really good, you tend to just forget about your team. If you're not doing that well, you freak out and you start making trades. And the problem is that it's so early in the season, and basketball is a long season, you know. So freaking out and acting like you have a good grasp on what your team has is a scary thing to do right now.
It's an extremely scary thing to do right now. It's only four. This is week four coming up. And the coaches don't even have their rotation set yet. They don't even know who they want to play quality minutes yet, outside of their starters and maybe their sixth and seventh man. Nobody seems to know. And some guys are very slow starters, you know, notoriously slow starters. Like a lot of them, you know, this is early in the season. Some guys are missing games because they don't want to play back-to-backs right now. They're trying to rest their players. It's very difficult. But to make trades now, I reject almost every trade that comes my way, and I have several that come my way, mm-hmm. and I always reject them because I don't really like to make trades anyway. So, you know why? Because people try to lowball you and think that you're silly.
Okay. Everybody overvalues their own guys, right? I mean, you know,
always.
It's just the way of the world. So I'm not a fan of trades myself either, but I do understand that a lot of people do like trades. So I try to, you know, I try to look at them and, but the thing about trades is that the number one most important thing you could do when you're getting ready to make a trade with somebody is pay attention to what they need. If they have, like, if they don't have anybody to replace the guy that you're asking for, that's ridiculous. I mean, just take a little bit of time, look in at the rosters and find a guy that actually has the position that you need, an extra one of those. You know, like maybe somebody sitting on his bench, you can't take the guy's only, best center from him if he doesn't have anybody else. It's just, and then because then they're going to value that player, they're valued that much more. If he's an extra guy sitting on your bench, even if he's a good player, he's still worth less to you because he's not being used.
Exactly right. I had a football trade like that. Someone offered me Cam Newton, and they wanted my Melvin Gordon. And I went, no, immediately, because my quarterbacks are already set, and I'm happy with those guys, Tyrod Taylor and Alex Smith. But Melvin Gordon is a big part of my team, and Cam Newton's not going to help me. Melvin Gordon losing him would hurt me. And I think sometimes people don't realize that, we also think too.
Right. Well, me being a chick, it's even worse. Imagine that. But that is the
problem. I've seen some of the trades that have come your way.
Right. I always come to you with my basketball trades. And I have another question about one more player. Gary Harris, right? He's on my team, and I'm getting a little annoyed because he's, is this guy good enough to hold around until he gets better? Because I'm willing to do that. But, at this point, he really hasn't played very much. He's not doing anything for my team. Just basically, even when he's on the roster, he's not really playing very many minutes. So, is this guy worth keeping around, or should I go and grab, I know you don't know who's available on the waiver, but what kind of player is Gary Harris going to be?
I think he's a fine player, but the problem is he started the season on the he was injured.
Yeah.
So he didn't play a lot or at all for the first three or four games. He's getting in the swing of things. I like Gary Harris. He'll hit threes for you. He'll get steals for you. He's going to play 25 to 30 minutes a night on that team. Denver is notoriously bad for injuries. A lot of guys seem to get injured over there. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's the thin air. Who knows? But I like Gary Harris. Gary Harris is always a sneaky play in daily fantasy, and I like him in season long. Now, how many teams are in your league?
Now, this would be a 12-team league.
And what team is it? Is it a roto league?
See, I have him on two teams. I have him. A lot of my teams are pretty much similar because I drafted the same type of players. One of them is a head-to-head league, and one of them is a roto league. And my money league is the one that I really am concerned about because my money league is the one that pays.
I understand.
I'm in ninth place. My other two leagues, I'm in first place. This one, I'm in ninth place. It's really bad. So I just want to make sure that I don't have somebody rotating through my roster that is not playing. It looks like he is playing again. He's been playing like averaging 22 minutes a game. And also another guy now out, Jeremy Lin. What the heck?
Jeremy Lin's injured. You keep him too, because quite frankly, if you don't, he's somebody else that is going to. He gets high usage when he plays. Brooklyn doesn't have much. He's their guy. I would not part with Jeremy Lin, not unless I had to. He'll be back next week probably, and he'll go back to playing 35 minutes a night. And when he's in these situations where he has high usage, he blows up. He scores points. He gets rebounds. He gets assists. He does a lot of things. And on that team, he's going to need those people. So I would think that keeping him would behoove you. I'd for sure at least keep him another 2 weeks and just make sure, because he'll be back. He was supposed to be back last night. He didn't play, but he should be back very soon. And when he does, he'll go back to doing what he does.
Perfect. And one more. Jay Crowder, he's pretty much owned all over the place. He's crappy too.
But he's crappy now because he's hurt.
Yeah.
But he's going to come back too. And when he does, he's going to hit three-pointers for you. His scoring is going to be a little erratic, but he'll get some rebounds. He'll get some assists. He's playing on a team that's going to score a lot of points once they're all healthy. Right now, Boston is grousing and complaining amongst each other. They haven't had their full unit out there even once this season together. Once they do, Crowder will settle down. He'll get some steals. He'll get some blocks. He'll score straight across the board. If you're in a roto league, he's a great pickup. Even in a 10 or 12 team head-to-head league, he's a good pickup, a great pickup probably. What round did you take him in? The fourth, maybe?
Oh, I have no idea. I'm on to something else because you are my personal basketball coach here. And you should let the listeners know that if they have a question about basketball, then they can get a hold of you because you're really easy to get a hold of.
I'm easy to get a hold of. Yep, that's right. You can find me at FlashTennis31 on Twitter, and I will answer your questions if I see them and if I have time to do so. Of course I will. Be happy to.
Do you know anything about Terrence Jones?
Terrence Jones? Why? What are you going to do with Terrence Jones?
Just I'm looking at the free agency. I'm one of those people freaking out right now because I'm in last place and I don't like it.
I understand that. I understand. That's cool. You know what, though? I would not probably go with Terrence Jones. His minutes are kind of all over the place. What is he getting? 21 minutes a night? 20 minutes a night?
Yeah, and I mean he's only owned by 9%, but I usually look instead of looking at the percentage owned, I look at the percentages plus or minus, like if people are dropping him or adding him, and so he's at the top of the list for he's been added 7%.
Right, because he's getting some run because he got some injuries on his team. But I have some waiver wire pickers if you want some.
Bring it on.
I have some by the position, actually.
Do it.
Okay, point guard Sergio Rodriguez from the Philadelphia 76ers is 25% owned at ESPN. He has 4 games this week. He's a very good pickup. At shooting guard for Brooklyn Nets, Sean Kilpatrick. He's 34% owned currently. He's got 4 games next week with Jeremy Lin out. He's getting a little more usage, and he's a darn good pickup. I also like at shooting guard, who's also point guard eligible, Tyler Johnson from the Miami Heat. 4 games this week, 38% available. And then you can go to small forward with the Memphis Grizzlies, James Ennis. He's available in 12%. He's getting over 30 minutes a night. They need a little help. He's got a lot of energy he provides for that team, and that's a good thing. Power forward, Chicago Bulls, 50% owned, Taj Gibson. He's good for rebounds, and he can blow up sometimes, score 20, 25 points if he, in the right situation. Another Brooklyn Net, power forward, Trevor Booker. He's 41% available, and he is fantastic to own because he's a double-double threat every time he gets 20 minutes or more. And then at center, now, he only has 3 games this week, but he's 48% owned. He's having a great time rebounding for the Phoenix Suns. His name is Tyson Chandler. Grab him. He's going to get you boards if you need him. There are my waiver wire pickups for the week for fantasy basketball.
Hey, that rules. That was really perfect for me. I love it.
I thank you. I try my best to make sure everything works out for everyone. And don't shoot me if it doesn't. You know, I'm not their coach like that idiot Rick Carlisle who benched JJ Barea last night and cost me my rent money.
I know, what an asshole.
Really, I hate that. That's the one thing about daily fantasy that I just despise. Just despise it.
A bad coach.
Now, he's a great coach, I mean, but he decided to rest his players. His team's going nowhere. I think they're tanking. It is what it is, and I'm over it now. That's the great thing about daily fantasy is you get to start with a new slate every single day and a new team, and you can have an incredibly large dead-to-me list and still be able to field your team.
Totally.
Baseball,
Baseball.
hot stove time.
Yeah, it is.
Mark Trumbo, he's the American League Comeback Player of the Year. He's also a free agent off of a career year. What happens to Mark Trumbo? Who goes after Mark Trumbo, you think?
A lot of teams. He's the hardest one for me to try to figure out where he's going. I mean, I would assume that he would go to an American League team because he's not very good at defense and he's just not very good in the outfield. He's okay at first base, but not, it wouldn't really be that feasible on a National League team. Who do you think?
I think he's going to stay right in Baltimore.
Yeah.
He's going to get a lot more money, obviously. He did hit 47 bombs. But you know what? I can say this. I'm not a big fan of Trumbo. 170 strikeouts and just 51 walks. Not a big fan of that. But I think Baltimore is. He really did a good job with them. And if the rest of the team would have hit, maybe they get a couple pitchers in there, they might have had a better season. But I think he stays in Baltimore. I think that's his best spot. I think he likes it there.
I think you're probably right. I think he'll get like 4-year contract, 5-year contract. He doesn't get on base very much, but again, the Orioles are, he's got a ton of power, and the Orioles love power, I mean, they have for a long time. So
Yeah, exactly.
I think he'll probably stay in the Orioles too. Other options could be like the Texas Rangers or the Red Sox, of course. They're losing David Ortiz. The Red Sox, they're a fit for everybody right now because they need a DH,
They really needed DH. You know who I was thinking for them? Honestly, it was on our list. Is Matt Holliday from the St. Louis Cardinals. He'd be perfect in that uniform.
the Red Sox have Hanley Ramirez at first base, where they could move him to DH, and so a first baseman would be likely, you know, they could be looking for a first baseman, and Mark Trumbo would fit that. Matt Holliday, right. On the other hand, they do have a spot in the outfield, but I don't know for sure if it's where Holliday plays. I'll have to look here. Holliday.
Right field.
Yeah, I mean.
He can play first, but he's stuck in, you know, in St. Louis. They already have a couple first basemen there.
He's not going to stay in St. Louis, that's for sure. He's not going to stay.
See, I would think, you know, one thing that I always appreciated about the St. Louis Cardinals is how they've always taken care of their own, meaning they guys like Matt Holliday, who's meant so much, they usually keep them, especially when they bring them up from nowhere, you know, from the minors. I don't know, man. I think they – I know he can't play defense anymore. Okay, I don't think he can anyway. Uh-huh. I think he's a better fit for America. I got to think Boston would be looking at him, though, maybe. He's a lot cheaper than Trumbo.
Right, and he'll probably take a one-year contract. I feel really like he's got a lot of really good assets. Like, he's a clubhouse guy. He's a veteran. He's always been just a good member of the community. And, no, he doesn't hit as well, and his defense has definitely taken a loss in the last couple years. He's got some injury issues to deal with. I would love if the Red Sox took up Matt Holliday for a year or two. I think it's a better investment. I mean, but he's 37, you know, and Trumbo's in his 30s too, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
So I don't
But
know.
Trumbo's the comeback player of the year in the American League.
Right, so he's going to get a longer contract.
47 bomb.
Yeah, but who are you going to – I just think that when you get over 35 – like, to give somebody in their 30s a contract worth 5 or 6 or 7 years is just beyond me.
Well, I don't think they're going to give Trumbo that far one, but – I would, you know, if you're Trumbo, you want one of those because they're guaranteed, and no matter if he falls off the hill or not, he's going to get his money. But I'm a big fan of the one-year contract still.
So, but does Holliday have he doesn't have a qualifying offer attached to him, right?
No, I don't think so.
He should, wouldn't he? Because he's been, come on, what are the requirements for a qualifying offer?
I don't think
offer?
So because, well, you know what, I'm not sure. But, you know, one thing I am sure of is that those guys that do those things aren't afraid to lose their players. You see, when you fail to offer a qualifying offer, you don't lose your players this way. You know, they know they're going to sign him is what I'm trying to say, I guess. Like with the Indians. Now, they didn't offer Mike Napoli a qualifying offer or Rajay Davis, and Rajay Davis led the American League in stolen bases. So what do you do? What are they really saying with that qualifying offer, you think? Or lack of?
The fact that, well, so for Matt Holliday, he had a $17 million team option, and they decided that they were not going to exercise his team option. He's still worth a qualifying offer, though. And I would think, you know, I started looking that up the other day, and I don't know if you have a team option that doesn't get exercised, are you still eligible for a qualifying offer? And if they don't make the qualifying offer, then do you lose a pick over that? Because picks are like gold nowadays. They are very important to teams. You know, the worst 10 teams, they're protected from losing a pick. Those teams are much more likely to pick up a player that has an offer attached to him. You know, they're protected. So like the worst teams in the league, they don't have to worry about it. The best teams in
right.
the league, they have to worry about it. So, I mean, the Red Sox, all these teams that we're talking about picking up these guys, they're going to lose a pick over it. So that's what they have to decide of whether or not these players are you know, worth losing their draft pick. It's not that.
Is Holliday worth losing a pick over?
I think so. I mean, but if
he's not worth anything to the Cardinals right now because all he can do is hit.
$17 million. That's the same. I think that's right around the same as the qualifying offer this year, $17 million.
Yeah, of course,
I feel
yeah.
bad for him though, because he's been such a good player and a good guy.
Okay, so what happens to Holliday then? If the Cardinals don't re-sign him, I seem to kind of think they might. If he wants to, maybe he wants to retire. You never know. But where does he go? What team does he fit? Because he doesn't fit a National League team. But he's an offensive player still. He'd be a great DH, maybe even a first baseman in the American League.
Maybe the Royals will pick him up or the Blue Jays.
What's your flavor?
What's my flavor?
You think the Blue Jays?
Maybe.
No, I said maybe he's just a different flavor.
Okay.
You think that Holliday would be good in Boston?
he'd be all right. If he can play first base, remember last year they said they were going to put him at first base a little bit? The St. Louis Cardinals were supposed to play him at first base, and he was fine at first base. So if he can play first base, then I don't see why he wouldn't be a good fit for the Red Sox.
Why not? But if he can play first base, they may just keep him in St. Louis because he's Matt Holliday, and they hang on to their players there. He's been a good boy for them, too. He's a good citizen for that team, like most of the Cardinal players are. Right. They seem to like to keep their players. That's why sometimes I kind of think that maybe Holliday stays there. But if he goes, what about like to a team like the Tigers?
I don't know.
Maybe the Indians could pick him up because they may not want to bring back Napoli.
Well, that's true. They don't. They might. They probably won't bring back Napoli. I don't even know if Napoli is going to come back to baseball again.
Oh, he'll play again. He had a career year this year. Why wouldn't he come back?
He's old.
He had over 30 home runs.
Yeah, but he's old.
He's making cheese. I mean, he made $7 million this year off a 14 home run season the year before. What's he going to make off a 30-plus home run season? I know he had a hard time in the postseason, but he's got to be worth something out there.
Well, and he doesn't have a qualifying offer attached to him, okay?
None.
34 home runs, and that would be, I mean, the Yankees could use him. The Mariners could use him. The Blue Jays are an interesting thing because it really depends on what happens to Encarnacion and Jose Bautista, who we're probably going to be talking about next, right?
Right, I think so. Yeah, why not? What are the chances that Encarnacion and Bautista fly the coop in Toronto?
Pretty good, I think. I think definitely Batista's gone. And
I think so, too. The way he was acting toward the end of the season and the way he ran his mouth in that Indian series, I think he wants to go. I think he wants to fresh start somewhere else.
I agree. Although, as a DH, here we go again. He's only limited to AL teams. His power numbers have declined over the last couple years. I mean, he only just hit .234 last year. That is not a good... You know, that is just not... I mean, how many years does this guy want? He's 36 years old.
He can still play outfield, though.
Fine, but his defense... I mean, his defense... His numbers have declined all over the board, obviously. He's 36.
How many assists did he get, though, this year?
Assists? Shit, I don't know how many assists. I'm not playing basketball.
Well, I mean, how many times how many runners did he throw out?
I don't know.
Probably a few. He's still got a good arm out there, though.
He's had an issue at right. He plays right field. It's been an issue for the last couple years, and it remained an issue this past year. He comes with a qualifying offer. He's limited to AL teams because he is going to end up as a DH. So whatever contract he's going to get, you're going to have to assume that he's going to fill the spot of DH because nobody's going to give him $50 million and then throw him out in right field. They want him to be healthy.
That makes sense, but I have a funny feeling that somebody is going to go after him in the National League who thinks he can play outfield still.
Good luck to them.
What, like Pittsburgh?
I hope not.
Why wouldn't he be great out there with McCutchen and Marte?
Who else do they have? They have Marte, McCutchen, and Polanco. Polanco.
Yeah, but Polanco, who's better, Bautista or Polanco?
Oh, it's Polanco. I mean, but Polanco's a youngster. He's getting ready to have his prime years.
Now I can trade Polanco for a couple of pitchers, and I'm going to be a happy camper if I can get a Bautista for a year or two on the cheap.
Yeah, Polanco's not going anywhere. I don't know his contract, though. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Well, that's fair enough. But I now, mean, who Pirates, takes Bautista then?
The Pirates have one of the best outfields in baseball.
Yes, they do.
With those three. So who takes Bautista? I would say that he would be a good fit for the Red Sox, the Yankees.
Okay.
Maybe the Yankees.
I think he would get abused in New York.
Well, maybe he would, but that depends on how well he plays. But the Yankee fans are quite finicky. Yes, they are.
Like Boston fans.
The Red Sox fans are nowhere near as bad as the Yankee fans, okay?
I worked with a bunch of them this summer, and they are, oh my God.
What do they do? Do they rank on their players, though? They don't boo their players.
They do.
They do?
Oh, yeah. The media is the worst in Boston than it is in New York, the players say.
I don't know, but that's pretty bad, so let's just
They kill their people in the newspapers.
Well, here in New York, they're pretty bad, but... Brian McCann is the DH in for the Yankees, and he's another one that's probably on the trading block.
Right.
They don't need him
anymore. Now, but who takes a Brian McCann? Who trades for a Brian McCann then, do you think? Because I kind of think that Brian McCann, okay, he kind of flies under the radar, and he does hit the ball out. But this is kind of like the park he's supposed to be knocking the ball out of, and he doesn't do it enough to make the fans happy, probably not enough to make the team happy because they don't win. Who takes a McCann? Who trades for a McCann? What do you get for a McCann? What do you have to give up, I should say, for a McCann?
A team that trades for a McCann is a team that has a very young catcher that they want to bring up properly as like a veteran. You know, Brian McCann has been around a long time, and there's something to be said about being a good catcher behind the plate. Just you're a leader on the team. You study batters. You study pitchers. Washington could use him. Like San Diego could use him. Tampa Bay could use him. All of these teams that have youngster catchers, or the Mariners could use him. Like, he's not a full-time catcher anymore. I would assume he would be going to an American League team. He would be going to a team with a young catcher that needs some guidance and mentorship or something like that. That's where.
Like Texas?
Who's Texas catcher?
Chirinos?
Oh, no, he's old. He's kind of old, too. They have Lucroy, don't they?
He hasn't played a lot. They have Lucroy, but I think he's out of there, too.
Is he gone, too?
I believe so, yes. I think so, anyway. But it should be interesting. Now, what about Encarnacion? You mentioned him. Now, he can play in both leagues. Is he coming back to Toronto?
No, I don't think so. I think he's probably a good candidate for the Red Sox.
You think? Why do you you want everybody on the Red Sox, but are they going to be able to do that?
I know I do, right? I want everybody on
you
the Red
do.
Sox.
Every single player you said it would be a good fit for the Red Sox so far.
Well, I think that any first baseman that hits for power is a good fit for the Red Sox because
they
need a DH, and Hanley plays first base, and he's just losing his stuff too. He's getting old. So any player that is a power hitter that can play first base is a good fit for the Red Sox. So that's why I match Trumbo and Batista and Encarnacion. But I do think that of all the players we've spoke about so far, that Encarnacion is the best fit for the Red Sox.
Okay. I think you're right. But will he end up in Boston, though? That's the million-dollar question. Or I should say the $20 million a year question, because that's what he's going to be shooting for.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's going to be shooting for us a lot. He's going to be shooting for like $95 million. So he's also 34. The Red Sox could use a left fielder as well. I don't think he's staying in Toronto, but what is then that leaves the question of what is Toronto going to do for power? I mean, I believe that he'll either stay in Toronto or go to Boston.
Yeah, he might stay in Toronto. I don't know. I'm not so sure. I don't know what he's going to do. It's hard to kind of project these things.
It's fun, though.
Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports has, yeah, sure. Lenny Melnick Fantasy Sports has a contest, so go on over there and check it out. Let me see. Now, let's talk about a couple relievers today.
Yeah.
Aroldis Chapman. Now, this is kind of funny because I've heard a couple different things. I heard the Giants are going to bring him in to talk to him, and I heard the Dodgers are after him, but it was weird because it's a trade for him, and the Dodgers vetoed it because of the spousal abuse charges that he had. So, I mean, what's the story with the Dodgers? What's this with Chapman? Where do you think he winds up?
Okay, well, first of all, with Chapman, I did a lot of research into this and wrote a huge article about it when it happened. The alleged abuse of his girlfriend, who's now having his baby, they're back together, all this. There was over 20 cops that came to his house that night, and not one of them took him to jail. I know that he shot his gun off in the garage and stuff like that, but for some gift of God, he maintained legality through the whole charade that he was doing. Like, because of the fact that he was in his garage shooting his gun, he's allowed to by law. He never, like, shot it around people or in a house or on, because the garage was not attached, it was fine. There was no scratches or any kind of marks on this girl. They never took Chapman to jail. She dropped the charges. So in his defense, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here that it was a drunken fight one night, and that's what happened. Things got a little out of hand, and the cops were called. But other than that, I'm not going to They didn't know this at the time. So the Dodgers were like weary of getting, you know, taking Chapman before they understood the repercussions of what this guy, I mean, he did get suspended for 30 games, but honestly, he didn't get charged with anything. And there is absolutely no mark on his record. I don't think it's going to come into play as much as it did at the time, if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. But the Dodgers, they really wanted him last season at this time. They really wanted him. They were going to trade for him. Now they have to decide between him or Kenley Jansen. Now, Kenley Jansen's available. There's a couple nice relievers out there this season that are out there that should be fun to talk about. Kenley Jansen being one of them.
Yeah.
What about him? Why would you, if you've already got a guy you're happy with, and I don't think they were unhappy with Jansen, why do you go after Aroldis Chapman?
I don't think the Dodgers are going to go after Aroldis Chapman unless they don't sign Kinley. Those two are going to be the highest paid closers in Major League history. They're going to like double what Papelbon got. They're just that good. So I can't imagine the Dodgers not trying to re-sign Kenley Jansen. I don't think, obviously, they're going to go after Chapman if they have Jansen. And I look, the Cubbies now are going to need somebody. The Cubbies, the Yankees, and the Dodgers, I think, are all good fit for all three of them. I mean, all two.
I think Aroldis Chapman stays in Chicago. I mean, why would you want to leave a team that just won the World Series and that you helped get them that World Series? I mean, why would you do that? The Cubs have a lot of money, too. They can afford to do whatever they want. One of the big misconceptions about the Cubs is that people think they're a small market team when in reality they aren't. And they haven't spent that much money yet. They can still spend a lot. I see them being players on the market, and I think Chapman stays there. If it's me, I'm staying there.
Yeah, I agree that when you win a World Series with a team, you have a connection with that team. There's no doubt about it. But the money is the reason that you would leave the team that you won the World Series with. So if the Yankees offer more money, which, you know, they might not. You might be right about the Cubbies. They do have a lot of money, and they have that spot open. Why not keep him?
Why not keep him? But you know who's going to get a lot of money this year? I think he's going to be the highest paid guy out there. Is Yoenis Cespedes. Now, the Mets offered him a qualifying offer. At least they did that. There's no way, if you're Cespedes, you leave the Mets, is there?
Yeah, didn't he opt out of his contract?
Well, he did, but that doesn't mean that he won't come back.
Well, why would he come back? He had $47.5 million remaining on his contract. So unless
because he wants more?
That's just ridiculous. He's not that good. I mean, okay, so... How good is this guy, right? I mean...
Right, I agree.
To say that he's going to get the most out of anybody on the market is... I don't know. He hit 30 home runs. It's like 17 less than Trumbo.
Yeah, I know. But the difference is he can play a couple different positions. And he does hit. People are fascinated by it. But... I don't have that kind of fascination for Yoenis Cespedes. So I don't think if it's me and somebody gives me that kind of money, I don't care. I'm not opting out of anything. I'm taking the bird in the hand. I'm not gambling. But these guys want to gamble on themselves, and I don't know what he's going to do. Do you think that he goes back? Because he's over 30 now, too. Does he go back to the American League then if he doesn't stay?
I mean – and. First of all, he only plays left field. Can you hear me?
Yeah, he plays center field too.
Okay, I didn't see that he played any center field, but
yeah, he played center field last year for the Mets, and he played a little right field, I think, too, at times, didn't he?
I don't see him on the depth chart at center.
Yeah, well, he may not be on the depth chart, but that doesn't mean anything. Those depth charts mean nothing.
So he played left field.
I'm sure of it.
Left and center. So he played left and center, both of them about the same amount of time.
I think he played right field a couple times, too.
No right field. Not last year.
Well, he could play right field. He's got a heck of an arm.
Yeah, he does have that. Definitely has that.
He's got all the tools. He's a five-tool player. And he's going to get money.
He has no speed. He's not he stole three bases. He's not...
Yeah, but he's not. His job isn't to run. When he started in the American League with the Oakland A's, he stole bases too.
Well,
He
that's
was
fine,
good.
but he is getting older and speed goes down with
Yeah.
age. And I just don't think, I mean, I just don't think he's as good as everybody is making him out to be. I really, really don't. He's average with his on-base percentage. He's average. But as far as going to an American League team, I don't think he needs to go to an American League team. I think the options are open. I know that the Yankees have already questioned about him. They've already been inquiring minds want to know.
Well, I think they'll bring him back. I think the Mets want to bring him back, but I think that he's going to end up in a, he's going to end up leaving there and going to back to the American League. He likes it there, so we'll have to see. I don't care where he goes, really. He's not a part of my life. I don't draft him in fantasy sports. I'm not playing season long league this year. I rarely use him in daily because he costs too much.
I'm kind of
So
annoyed.
he can do what he likes.
I mean, I'm kind of annoyed at the guy because first of all, he gave up a $47 million contract for 2 years. That's almost $25 million a year. He refused that. Now, you remember what happened to Ian Desmond last year when he decided that he was going to get some long-term contract. And I just don't see it. I don't see him getting paid more than $25 million a year. It's just, I mean, sorry.
No, I don't see it either. But he can do what he likes. You know what? If he thinks that he's worth more, let him go out and try to find it. I think he's going to find that he's going to end up getting less than what he would have gotten with the Mets. But that's what gambling's all about. Sometimes you win, and sometimes you lose.
I wouldn't be gambling with $25 million a year.
But he thinks he can get more. He's gambling, he's betting on himself, and he's betting on the market, thinking that he's worth more than he is.
Yeah, well, whoever his agent is needs to be canned.
Well, I don't know who it is either. Maybe it's Scott Boras, but
Probably.
if or whoever doesn't really matter, you watch. Someone's going to pony up that cash for that cat. But the guy that the Mets should be after is probably Dexter Fowler.
Love it.
Now, they could do that. I was actually talking to Lenny Melnick, your significant other, this morning, and we were talking about this. And I think that he's right. And I think taking Dexter Fowler and letting Cespedes go gives you a lot more cash to free up to fix what you need, like a third baseman.
Dexter Fowler is a great idea for any team. I mean, the guy is a switch hitter. He hits lefties just as, I mean, when a left-handed pitcher is up, he bats righty, and he hits 270. And when, vice versa for the other way around, he hits 290. So he hits good both ways. He can lead off. He gets on base. He, out of all the free agents, he has the highest on base percentage at 393. I mean, he is going to be a leadoff hitter from heaven, and I think that anybody, any team could go for him, any team. And I don't know why I don't know, maybe the Cardinals.
Cardinals are not a bad choice either. I think that's a good idea for them. But you're right. He'll fit in just about anywhere. I think he's better off in the National League because they like to steal bases and he can take advantage of that. It seems like they're more of a play for one run type of league as opposed to the other. But this whole hot stove season should be interesting. The last thing before we go, R.A. Dickey signed with the Braves today.
Holy moly, really?
R.A. Dickey.
Are you
R.A.
serious?
Dickey, who hasn't done squat since he was lucky enough to win the Cy Young for the New York Mets. Does he have fantasy value? Just off the top of your head, does R.A. Dickey provide any type of fantasy value to you?
Well, he does because he eats innings, and even though he's been getting worse and worse with the con like batters connecting, so they are making connection because he's a knuckleball pitcher. He okay, be because he's a knuckleball pitcher, he doesn't throw as hard, meaning that his arm will probably last a few years longer. The second thing is that he'll hit a couple hundred innings every year. I know that Atlanta is, you said Atlanta, right? They're a young team, so they might. He's a great clubhouse guy. He's a good guy. As far as like fantasy value goes, there's a saying out there like innings eaters should not really be any kind of reason to draft somebody, innings eater, just because they're going to eat up innings. Well, if they can maintain a decent ERA and WHIP and they're going to eat up innings, that would be all right. But
But he's not going to do that.
he's not going to be any value to anybody in a season-long league, but he might be a good streamer for a day or two.
Well, that's just it. You know something, though? He's not a, if you're playing in a really deep league, like 16 team league, 20 team league.
Here's the other thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was just thinking.
Yeah, go ahead.
Going from the American League back to the National League is a positive, a big positive.
He already, that's where he had his best years in the National League.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. In the National League East is where he had his best season. So he already, coming back to the National League East is a step up in a lot of ways. So, you know what? Maybe he will have value. He was pitching in Toronto with the American League East and all these hitters, the DH and all that. It's not that easy. So it definitely gives him uptake in his value because he's going back to the National League East.
Yeah, he's good for two more strikeouts a game because he'll face the pitchers.
Right.
But you know something? If I were in an auction league and I was playing at the end of the draft and I had a buck left, I would grab him. Why not? Because I could stream him maybe once or twice. And here's the thing. Here's the thing with R.A. Dickey. Is if, so let's say, for example, he goes out because the Atlanta Braves are going to score runs. Let's say, for example, he goes out and wins his first two or three games. I can sell this guy high, and I can get somebody for him before he falls off the cliff.
Totally. I would have rather have him than Clay Buchholz.
Clay Buchholz.
I would.
Does Clay Buchholz even pitch in the league anymore?
Are you kidding me? They just, dude, yes. Boston just either bought his option or decided to keep him. They have him for another year, and they paid him. Let's see. They could have opted out. I think this is it. They could have opted out for $500,000, but they decided to pay him $11 million to stay, which I think is absolutely ridiculous because that $11 million could have gone so much further than this fool.
He's a fool. Yeah, it's tough, man. I'll tell you what. Great stuff today. Thanks for being here with me as always.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That was that for Andrea Lamont. I'm Phil Nasons. Thanks for listening to Nothing But Fantasy.